We're going to make an impact for eternity, whether we like it or not. Would you agree with that statement? Can we turn the house lights on, the little circular ones in the bottoms? I don't know why I'm so picky about stuff like that. Every Sunday I see stuff like that. The little bottom ones, click, there we go. We're going to make an impact for eternity, whether we want to or not. We're going to lead a legacy that impacts this planet for eternity, whether we do that intentionally or unintentionally. Making an impact that lasts for eternity for the kingdom of God. Is that your goal? I think it is. I think those of you that know Jesus have righteousness deep down on the inside, and that's what you want. Lots of people are definitely making an impact. Like Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 talks about, we're going to all stand before the Lord Jesus and give an accounting. And really, we're going to hear an accounting. We're not going to give an accounting. We're going to hear an accounting from the one whose judgment is righteous and just. We're going to find out how we've done. And Paul talks about the day, meaning the day of the Lord, where we stand and hear the verdict from the Lord Jesus, how we did. The day will reveal through fire what the substance of our lives was really made of. Was it precious gold, silver, and costly stones? Or was it wood, hay, and stubble? In other words, will it be a life lived that in light of eternity was a waste of a life? It may be possible for us to stand before the Lord Jesus and be saved because we had some faith in him that was authentic, but have the bulk of how we spent our time, our energies, our priorities, our attention, our relationships, our money, our possessions, and our endeavors a complete revealed to be nothing more than straw, wood, hay, stubble, that when it stands before the Lord Jesus, we find out that we wasted it, all of it. Oh, help me be gentle today because I feel a real urgency in my spirit. I really do, and I might yell at you. And I just want to warn you in advance, I'm yelling at you because I love you. I may yell at you, just warning you. It may come out of me on accident as I get into this. And I'm yelling at me too. Accumulating goods to simply enjoy them is straw. Building a large house so that you can enjoy it and the prestige it brings is wood. Now using it for hospitality for the kingdom is silver. Investing all your time in work as though making money were the important end in itself so that you could lay up treasure, so that you would have security, and so that you wouldn't have to worry is straw. Put your hope in God. Wealth is no hope at all. Living your whole life for the next vacation or for the next camping trip or for the next hunting weekend or for even retirement at the end of your life is stubble. Using the next family vacation to bless and pray and do ministry into the family that you are meeting with who need the love of Jesus, that can be gold. Taking young men on hunting trips to invest in and mentor them, that can be gold. Redeem the time, guys. Redeem the time, guys. This isn't legalism. I'm not putting any legalism on you. I'm not telling you don't go have fun. I'm not telling you don't go hunting. I'm not telling you don't watch football. I'm telling you pursue the kingdom in everything you do. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. If you really believed that Jesus died for everybody, if you really believe that, then you would no longer judge them from any other perspective than that. If you really believe that they were such a treasure to Almighty God that he sent his son to lay down his life to win them back and save them from not only eternal destruction but from hell on earth till they get there, if you really believe that, then that is the standard of measure that as you walk about life, you would see this one's blood-bought, this one's precious to God, this one matters to God. If we really believed in hell and in heaven, if we really believed in the Lord Jesus, we would live it. We would see people through his eyes and we would be gripped with a passion for the kingdom. Every day, all day, we would weep. Paul in Romans chapter 8 just came out of the highest highs that you've ever heard. He finishes up Romans chapter 8 by saying that nothing in all creation, keep me turned up, Oz, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. He's just finished the highest of highs. He's just finished elation, rejoicing, absolute rejoicing. He's out of his mind with glory and joy. No one will stop his worship. And do you know what he does as soon as Romans 9 begins? He says, I'm gripped with constant sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart for the sake of my brothers, my Jewish brethren who don't know Jesus. This is a man who is gripped. He is gripped. He's ruined. He will never be able to go to work and just do his job and ignore the people around him as though they don't matter. The only standard of measure that we have left if we are Christians is to see everyone through the lens of Christ crucified for them. The infinite value they have to God. The hunger and the passion, the zeal of the Lord for people. Guys, living for eternity. Wealth and faith, when combined, lead to generosity. Period. It's possible to be rich and enter the kingdom, but it takes a miracle, and it's a really hard one to do. Luke chapter 12, 32 through 34. Just listen to the word of the Lord. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Also, this is the word of the Lord. Everything you invest in this life is wasted. Everything you invest in the kingdom of God can never be taken. I'm sort of thankful that I'm poor. Bob says I'm not poor. I live paycheck to paycheck. I'll put it that way. Let me tell you something that I wish. I wish I had $1 million so I could give it away. I remember over Christmas time, every year I would look forward to getting the money that I would get from my parents so that I could buy this. Right here, this thingy. I love this thing. This thing's awesome. It does a good job. It makes pretty music. Isn't that right, Clay Mass? And as every year would go by, I would because I'm poor, that I can't buy the stuff that I would like to buy, and so I wait till Christmas when somebody else gives me a little money and I can spend it on something like that. And then I would see one of the cousins at the family get-together out in Virginia, Calvin, he would take all the Christmas money he got and he would give it away to buy a cow for a poor family in a different country. That little boy, how do I say this in church? That little boy was kicking my rear end. Are you hearing me? Like, I'm not saying that's not being glorifying the kingdom. It is. That's glorifying the kingdom right there, the way it's being used right now. I'm not against having nice guitar things for the king. What I'm trying to say is, I looked at my heart saying, oh man, if I got this, I could just think about all the pleasure and satisfaction I'd get out of this trinket. I want this thing for me. I want this thing. Oh, it'd be so fun if I got this thing for me, this next thing for me. And wow, wouldn't that be great? And over here's this little boy saying, yeah, I have everything I need already. What about those people who don't even have what they need? I just wonder sometimes, what does it say about a people who name Jesus as Lord, who spend what we get on what we want when there are people living around us who don't even have what they need? Help us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It's like we don't believe the gospel. No, seriously. We believe parts of it, or we partially believe it. Give us more. Whose water is this? Because I'm going to drink it. Trusting that Jesus is going to keep me healthy. Is this yours, Matt? Are you sick? Look, Jim Elliot said it this way. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And somebody better say amen.
Amen.
Spending what we get on our pleasures is so short-sighted. Like, seriously, if you care about your own happiness, what are you thinking? Look, guys, I'll just tell you right now, I am totally committed to my own joy. And what I found is that the way to joy is not found in, like, feeding my flesh. The way to joy is to feed my spirit. The way to joy is to invest in the king, pleasing Jesus. I can't get enough. I'm telling you guys, I've become addicted to obedience. I can't get enough. The more I obey him, the more joy I get. The more I deny myself and let him live here instead, the more joy I get. It's so short-sighted to spend what we get on our pleasures. And listen, you can expand this out. Let's say we're not talking about money. Let's say we're talking about relationships. It is so short-sighted to just relate to people on the basis of what they can give me. Come on. Jesus said it so clear. He said, it is more happy to give than to receive. Did you know that's a good rendition of Blessed? Oh, thanks, Mark. I'll finish this one and then I'll get to this one. All right. Maybe I should just yell at you one more time and then let you go into sharing time. When I talk about needs in the church, when we give you opportunities to serve, and like we do stuff like the frolic, or we do stuff like the Thanksgiving box giveaway, or we do things like we let you get in on the privilege of giving into a wood stove for a family in our church that you know didn't have any heat in their home at that point when we did that. Like, did you notice that whenever we talked about it, I never said, guys, there's like furrowed brow and all serious expression, guys, there's this real need. There's this need. We really need to do this, guys. We should do this. Like that never once came through. Do you know what came through? I need you to hear my heart on this, or at least I want you to. What came through was, oh, guys, oh, we have an opportunity to be a part of blessing this person. Totally awesome. Oh, my goodness. This is more exciting than Christmas. We get to be a part of this. We get to be a part of giving away Thanksgiving food to people and clothes to people and blessing them and praying them and loving them in Jesus' name. We get to be a part of the solution to the problem on the planet. Awesome. Guys, seriously, why would you want to live any other way? Why would you want to live any other way? Pour me out, God, as a drink offering on the sacrifice. Put Tim to death. Tim in charge of Tim is bad news to the world. Jesus in charge is good news for the world. Wow. We have an opportunity to invest in eternity. Exciting, guys. totally exciting. It's like this. It's like it's like the Lord Jesus is coming to us and he says, and he's a stockbroker or an investment banker. I'll put it that way. He's managing our investments. And he comes to us and he goes, guys, seriously? There's this deal. There's this deal right now where there's this stock that's going to just blow up. And right now, it's cheap. But I'm telling you, the market is going to change. And this stock is going to be valued so ridiculously high in a short amount of time. It's going to be valued so ridiculously high that if you don't buy all that you can, in fact, you know what? Sell all the rest of your stock and just buy this one stock. Put all your eggs. I know this is normally bad advice. Don't put your eggs in one basket. Normally, we tell you to diversify your portfolio, but Jesus, the stockbroker, the investment banker, he's like, seriously, guys, seriously, every other stock's going to fail. I have it on pretty good authority because I'm God. We've been given this opportunity to buy while the stock is cheap and then later on have it absolutely blow up. Am I making any sense to you? Like, let me try again, try harder. What's the longest sound cable up here? Well, that's not going to work because I don't want to have you guys wait on me getting a sound cable. No, I need one. Talk amongst yourselves. Well, that's not very long, but it'll work. Hey, sweetheart, can you grab the other end of that? Thank you. Just hold still and hold it. Don't move. Okay. This is your life. Okay? This part right here is your life on earth. This little part over here is your retirement. Do you know how many people live this part of their life thinking that after they get all their ducks in a row, they're going to enjoy this last little part of their life? I have an idea, guys. It's really revolutionary. What if we live for this part?
Amen. Yes.
Just saying. Thank you. That's my sermon. Sermon is over. All right. Let's go to sharing. Is there anyone who would like to testify to what the Lord Jesus has been doing lately? And I will hold the microphone, just so you know. Come on, John. John Freed.
Well, a lot of you guys know that I had an illness called Rocky Spotted Fever for a couple years now. And about a year into it, doctors actually gave up on me, a lot of them, and it was a really hard time for the last 3 years. And about a month and a half ago, we had Bishop Tucker here. And one of the ladies that was with him prophesied over me and told me that I was going to go to the doctors and that they were going to do a blood test and the disease would be gone. And
did that lady know that you had Rocky
Mountain? The lady had no idea I had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. She only knew I had a disease in my spinal cord, and I didn't even tell her that. She knew things about my past. She knew a lot of things. And none of it, which... She never met me before, so I know she didn't know any of that stuff. What was awesome was beginning of the month, I went to see my doctor, And she ran a blood test, and about a week ago, a week and a half ago, the disease was gone, completely gone. So. What's better yet is they actually released me to go back to work so I can start looking for a job. So, yeah.
And that's not even the whole story. My goodness, this boy used to have blackouts every day. He would have blackouts, and when he started coming to church here, we kept praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And I don't know how many times we prayed for you. We'll keep praying for you, baby. Come on. And the blackouts, first they went from, instead of having them every day, they went to about once a week. He'd pass out sitting in his chair in church. And then they went to less than once a week, more like once a month or so. Why am I telling your story? Come on.
Yeah, then it was about once every 3 months, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. And that was about, actually, so it's been about 10 months since my last blackout. And the memory loss has stopped, too.
What was the last part you said?
It came with a lot of memory loss as well. There was a lot of damage with the memory loss. So it was nice to not have, because I missed on a lot of things with my kids because of the memory loss that went with the blackouts. So
that matters, doesn't it?
It matters a lot to be able to see a lot of things with my kids and actually remember it happening.
That's pretty precious.
Yeah.
Love you. Stay here. I want to pray for you to get a job. Can you join me?
Yes.
Let's pray for John Freed to get a job. Father, we love you. You're so good. You didn't do this to show off, except to show off how good you are. You didn't do this so we'd go, oh, miracles are neat. You did this because you love John. You love John. And in your kingdom, broken things get set right, and we love you. We ask now, Father, that you'd give him a job. We ask that you'd give him perseverance to search for one. Don't let his heart grow weary in the process. Don't let him feel like if he doesn't get hired right away, don't let him internalize that as it's somehow reflecting on him. It's just a tough market. So we bless him, we lift him up to you, and we love you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Love you, John. Nikki, would you like to? Were you just thinking that? Were you about to stand up? I read that one. Come on, Jesus. Oh, no, listen, sweet. This is the testimony. Come on. I about called you sweetheart. My wife doesn't like when I call ladies sweetheart.
Me and June and Anita would just like to thank everyone who came out Tuesday.
Indeed.
I have to say I was overwhelmed near tears at the support that the church that you guys showed us this year. Absolutely amazing. We had leftover cookies from the ones that brought cookies. The sorting clothes was faster because more people came out. And then the actual day, overwhelming.
Phenomenal.
With prayer happening. And just thank you guys so much.
It was awesome.
I mean, thank you. And everyone, even we had young ladies, very young ladies, who were watching kids for the mamas so they could be here. So everybody took part this year, and we are just very, very thankful for that.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Nikki, you rock. Awesome. It was fun watching Nikki, and at one point I had to grab her and pull her aside and say, you got this. God called you to this. And I said, say it with me, I'm not a worrier. Because she's not a worrier. And you got to not be a worrier to handle that kind of organizational onslaught. It was a lot of fun. I'll tell you this from Tuesday. I was so impressed with Connor. I don't see him. There you are. I'm blind. Selective blindness. I was so impressed with Connor. He had such a heart to get in the game and just love people boldly. I said, Connor, just stick with me, buddy. Stick right next to my side and do what I do. And, oh, man, I couldn't lose him if I tried. I'd be praying for somebody. He'd be right there. And I'd say, all right, pray for him, Connor. I'll share one little quick story about Tuesday. I sat down next to a lady, and I said, how can I pray for you? And she started telling me about her daughter. And her daughter was pregnant and 18 years old. And mom's stressed out about this. And just some details I don't need to go into. And then the daughter sat down, and I started to talk to her, and she said she was feeling a lot of nausea and kind of fear, understandable, about the future and so forth. So I said, can I pray with you? And she gave me the look that says, I don't know, is it going to hurt, you know? Like, you know, people don't know what you're going to do, you know? Am I going to, you know, I don't know. It's new. And so I prayed, and I prayed for fear about the future. And I could tell right away she was with me, that what I was praying was from the Lord. And it was connecting with what she was feeling and going through. And then I got to the point where I dealt with her nausea. Excuse me. And I just commanded it to go in Jesus' name, the way Jesus did. Nausea, you may not stay. Go in Jesus' name. And then I said, check it out. See, is there any change? And she said, she didn't say anything. She made the face that said, what in the world just happened? She looked shocked. She said, it's gone. And I said, yeah, sweetheart. Yeah, sweetheart. That's because Jesus is real. He loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. I said, he wants to talk to you, sweetheart. He wants to have a real relationship where you talk and you have conversation. He wants you to hear his voice. I said, I hear his voice. And she said, like, really? Because, you know, he healed her, so she's convinced that this is not nonsense. She knows this is true. She's actually going to believe what I'm telling her now because the Lord touched her. Go figure. It's not just trying to win an argument. Anyway, she says, really? Like, he talks to you? I said, well, not out loud. You know, that's never happened to me. It happens to some of you for some reason. But anyway, I said, in my thoughts, in my head, he talks to me, and I've learned to recognize his voice. And then I told her the story about being a brand new believer at 3 a.m. and praying and Jesus showing up, and I'm so scared I can't even open my eyes because he's so holy. And he spoke to me and said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I said, Tiffany, I really believe that's what Jesus is saying to you right now. I really believe he is saying he's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you. It was awesome. It was just fun. Good, clean fun. Good, clean fun. Anybody else? Come on. I don't know. Whatever. I didn't with Nikki for some reason.
Okay. I couldn't talk myself out. It's awfully loud. I couldn't talk myself out of coming up here, and I brought my baby, so I won't cry. But I need to testify, I guess. See, I'm going to cry. Hold on. I'm happy. I'm full of joy. And I don't always understand. I feel blind. And I don't always understand everything that is taught and said, let alone remember and be able to explain. But I do know that there is joy inside of me. And it's blowing out, and that's exactly what I prayed for and what I've longed for, and I am so excited that it's not coming from me. And I thought about this earlier. I was like, I need to start writing stuff down because it never comes out of my mouth the way it comes to me in my head. But this joy and this love is seeming to flow out to my kids and how I parent and my desire to reach other people. And I'm just really, really excited and full of joy, and praise Jesus.
Ditto to what she said. Bob Mitchell, was that you? Yeah.
Okay. Just let Michelle hold it. She always does better than me. Actually, we just, a couple things. We want to be, just to show our gratitude to everyone in here who has encouraged the young people to meet with us. Mm. I mean, every Wednesday night and Sunday morning, it's really humbling for me to think that someone would actually want to come and hang out with us. And you know, that might sound a little humorous, but it's really true. And people, a lot of adults have asked us how that's going, and really my response is just that if they're enjoying it like 1% of how much it's blessing us, then I guess it's going really, really well. Because, you know, it's just a fantastic time. And I kind of want to capitalize on what you said about giving, and we do have an opportunity with this, with these children, and I want you guys to know that this came from your young people. This opportunity for these children that
with
Amanda
the
thing
Christmas,
in the back that we're
yes,
doing.
Excellent.
Yeah. And when Amanda brought it up, and she said, "There's like 40 children," you know, I work with finances all day long, and I started doing the math, and you know, we're taxed with a lot. Not taxed, but, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people that give. And part of me wanted to say, well, maybe we should split this up somehow. And then Andrew Chupp's like, we can do this. Shoot, we'll take this one. We'll take that one. You know, so I just want you to know that there is an opportunity here. These children are in this community.
Yeah.
It's Seaford, Bridgeville. I didn't have an opportunity on Tuesday to come and witness what happened here, but Michelle did, and she was overflowing with it. So, you know, this isn't a guilt trip. This is just if you have a desire, there is an opportunity that your young people have brought out to give back. So, yeah.
I didn't mean to put a guilt trip on you either.
I don't think you did.
They're not going to like me for this, but I would like everyone that's part of the College and Careers group to stand up. Right now.
Literally.
That'd be good. Stand up. Stand up in your seat.
Oh, look at how awesome these people are.
I want you to look around because these, outside my own son, are they are the most precious people in this room. And they are just awesome. And whenever you see them, take an opportunity to ask them what's going on in their life. Take an opportunity to encourage them and pray for them. And admonish them if they need. Hold them accountable. These people are already are ministering in this fellowship. They are becoming leaders. They are the future leaders
absolutely.
Of this church.
Yeah.
So bless them every opportunity you get because they are awesome.
Yeah, we got elders. We got preachers. We got missionaries in this group. I'm not kidding right now. Right now, we got missionaries in that group. We got... Yeah. Let me check my clock here. I don't want to go crazy. We did that last week. We kind of went a little bit nuts. I know. Trust me, I know. I knew. I was aware. It's 12:08. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to share, and then we got to get to some good, good, good business meetings. Up in here? Right here? Oh, sweet. Hi, Violet. I'm going to stand on this side.
I just like to praise God. I think when God does a miracle in our lives, we need to express it and testify of it. And 4 weeks, I guess it was about 5 weeks ago, I stepped into this church. And it was just an awesome time of sharing. And I just felt the love of God here in this church. There's something really special here. And I just want to thank you all for your love and your kindness. And as you all know, I've been praying for my son for over 15 years. And my son has not only come home physically, but he's come home spiritually, and I just praise God for that. And it's just... And I just want to say that there's power in prayer. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Right.
And 6 or 7 weeks ago, I hope my son doesn't mind me sharing this, but I went to visit him in work release. And he was really in a deep valley. And I said, Josh, all I can say to you is that God is a deliverer.
Amen.
And if he can deliver Daniel out of the lion's den, he can deliver you. And I came home, and there's power and agreement, and I called several intercessors and asked them to pray fervently for my son. 2 weeks later, I was laying in my bed one night. It was 10 o'clock. My phone rang. And it was Josh on the other end. He said, Mom, you better sit down. I said, well, I'm lying down. He said, they're releasing me. That was a miracle of God, because Josh was not supposed to be released till April of next year. So do you see the awesome power of God? And I just want to thank you, too, for as a congregation for coming in and loving on my son. God has already provided a mentor for him from this congregation. And yesterday, seven guys, classmates were there working, doing yard work, and they had an awesome time together. And I just want to say that in the body of Christ, we all have spiritual gifts. And when we reach out and we share those gifts with one another, God does awesome things, and I praise God for that.
Amen. Hi, Dawn. Has this happened in a while? It's been a while.
What, that I stood up here?
No, don't worry about it. Never mind me. Just keep rolling. You're doing good.
Tuesday, after the Thanksgiving boxes, you're going to hold at the right distance, right? I got the idea to take eight boxes, after eight extra boxes, and just kind of go around Bridgeville and hope that God would tell me where, who needed them.
Wow.
So we actually took 10. Two we had to hand deliver to two people that couldn't come pick them up, Connor and I and all the kids. And so we took those two. The last of the two was in, I don't know what section of Bridgeville you call that, but I guess North Bridgeville. And I really had a heart for that neighborhood ever since I used to work for the town of Bridgeville. So we had these extra eight. And I was showing him these little dead-end streets that kind of go down to the creek. And we were looking for houses that had people in them. And it was like, Connor, let's go knock on that door. We were totally winging this, which is like the coolest place to be.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah.
We knocked on this lady's, and it's like, please let this person be friendly and nice and kind and so we can do the other seven. So this lady comes to the door, and, oh, she was just so thankful to see us, and so she was warmer than we were. She was just so into it. And I was like, okay, like hitting Connor, like, should we ask to pray for her, you know? I mean, we offered her the box.
Why were you hitting him?
Like, because he seems to be more further on this path than I am. So he was like, would you like us to pray for you? And she's like, oh, yeah, I need all the help I can get or something. So she had both arms around Connor and I, kind of like squeezing us together. So it was funny because he was praying for her. She was simultaneously praying for him. And then speaking in tongue kind of washed in the middle of her prayer. And we just had this really cool little thing out in her front yard.
You found a sister in Christ is what you found.
She was wonderful. It was a beautiful day. I don't know if you remember Wednesday. It was just a beautiful day. And so we're out in her front yard. And then I said, do you know anybody else that might need a box? So she said her daughter up there has children. And so we went to the daughter's house. We knocked on her door. We gave her a box. And then asked her if she knew anybody that needed one. She said her next-door neighbor had a bunch of children. So we knocked on her next-door neighbor's house. And she turns out, for all the homeschool moms, she homeschools, just started homeschooling. She's got 4-year-old, 7, 5, 3, and 1. She just started homeschooling the 7-year-old. So I was going to put her together a box of, like, second grade stuff. But she came out. We spent an hour and a half talking out front their house. And she invited us back for supper. We're kind of talking Holy Ghost stuff. Invited us back for supper. And I had to go buy Thanksgiving Day stuff. So we ran a food line, ran to my house, dropped off stuff that needed to be in the fridge, ran back to her house, had dinner with her family.
Had dinner with her family.
Me and all my children, her, these, and her husband and these four little kids. And then she invited us to her, she heard his testimony, and she wanted him to speak at her church Wednesday night. So we went to her Bible study at her, now tell the name of the church.
And you did that?
Yeah,
Yes.
What? Flames of Fire, Holy Ghost. I wonder what they're all about.
Over in, on the way to Georgetown. So the van came, picked up her and her children. I followed the van so I could just go home afterwards from the church. They were the most welcoming group of people. They invited him to stand up, and it's funny because after the whole prayer service was over, they're like, we have visitors. Connor's like, how do you think they knew we were visitors?
Was it because you were white?
So he stood up, told his whole testimony what happened the other night, and they all came over, loved all over us, and prayed for him, and told him, you know, keep in the spirit, keep in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. We talked about his sailing, and it was just awesome. So my whole point in all of this was, it's a really tiny step to get out of your comfort zone.
Wow.
You know what I mean? God just wants you a little bit uncomfortable,
uh-huh.
And then he can just put in front of you who he wants to put in front of you. You know what I mean? Put people in there that he wants you to talk to. So we ended up getting rid of all 8 boxes. Some guy in a pickup truck drove by. We gave him one. We took 2 to the prayer meeting with us. Gave 2 away at the prayer meeting. He took 1 to a house all by himself.
Do you have any left?
No, not
that's
that 8.
Good.
That 8
that's
we
good.
Got rid of. People took Bibles, too. We took 8 Bibles with us. So we gave away, 4 Bibles, I guess. But my point was just go a tiny bit out of your comfort zone, and God will be there, and he can use you when you're uncomfortable. He can use you when you're nervous and you don't think you're saying all the right stuff. And, I mean, for that family to welcome us in and feed us supper, I figure she had
that's
8
awesome.
Kids. She had her 4 and my 4. And it was just the coolest thing. When people welcome you into their house, that is just
that's
awesome.
Wild. Thank you. Thank you. Funny. That's funny. Shall we have a business meeting? Let me ask the Lord if you can say something real quick. I was going to do prayer after the business meeting. Was that incorrect? Tammy's supposed to share, though. Hold that thought. Mark says, of course.
I won't be long, I promise. Many of you were here this past weekend, saw 2 girls come with me, one with blonde and pink hair and one with bright pink hair.
I remember, yes, I remember.
And the blonde is someone that's been in and out of my home. I love her like my own daughter. Her name is Sam. The other one, her name is Crystal, and they came. And I was really hoping they could come to Fresh Encounter, but I wasn't sure how they'd respond to all that was going on. And Saturday night, they were sitting back there, and I kind of wondered how they were feeling and all. We got home. We stayed up till 1:30. They're asking me about it, and I was sharing them my testimony, and they're really interested in it. But the thing that really I wanted to share with you guys, when I took them home, I said to Crystal, Sam's been down off and on. I said to Crystal, don't make yourself scarce. You can come even if Sam doesn't come. She said, oh, I am definitely coming back.
Good.
They felt such a warmth there, and I wanted to thank you for that. But then on her wall, she posted, by the time I got home from Philly after dropping them off, that night she had posted on her wall, he rewrote my name, unshackled my shame, and opened my eyes to see I am free. I don't know how she remembered those words. I don't know. They stuck. They're there. And I just want to thank you for the seeds that you have planted. We just pray for waters, for harvest, and whatever. But thank you so much that you have planted seeds in their lives, and it's there.
Wow.
This has nothing to do with the business meeting, but this thought occurred to me a couple days ago, and it actually was affirmed to me this morning after I heard a couple people's stories of their week. Penn was here. I mean, Elder Tucker was here. Penn was here. Brian was here. We've had a lot of pouring in that has occurred.
Yep.
And the Lord has worked on our hearts and our minds and our souls and aligned our spirits with His Holy Spirit. I've heard a lot of people this week talk about that they've had a bad week, even though Tuesday was wonderful. This isn't a statement on Tuesday. But I've heard a lot of people talk about things coming up that they thought they dealt with.
Right.
I just want to really encourage you guys to expect that. It could be your flesh coming up against you. It could be the enemy talking to you. Or it could be God allowing a light to shine on an area that still isn't done.
That's right.
So take heart and look at those things. Don't Absolutely. Be so quick to blame it on the enemy.
Right.
Don't be so quick to blame it on your flesh. But meter your way through. Carefully seek what is occurring in your individual life. But keep moving forward.
Amen, amen. It's a good word, Mark. That's a good word. Yeah, expect that. Expect that. When you pray for more, God wants to clean house. I guess I'll leave that on. Specifically, we always open the altar for any kind of thing that you want to come up and pray for. If you want to come up here and pray for more boldness, if you want to come up, if you want to ask somebody like Becky Wright, who says, "Man, I got joy." If you want joy and you want what she has, ask her to pray for you. There's just God loves humble hearts get grace. Hungry, humble, broken hearts get grace. People who are too proud to ask, people who think they know better than everyone else, they don't get grace. It's just how it works in the kingdom. You got to humble yourself. Receive through somebody who doesn't know as much as you do, but actually understands more than you do. I don't know if that made sense. But specifically, is there anyone here who has any kind of shoulder issues? Any kind of shoulder issues? If not, that's fine. Okay. Okay, Bunny, I'm going to pray for you over by the cross when we do that. And then anybody with leg issues, like it could be knees, it could be hips. And I heard the word limbs. I don't know if that means that somebody was involved in some sort of accident involving trees stuff, or if that's just talking about body limbs, but I had a question mark by that, and I said, "Lord, that's an awkward one." But anyway, so I am going to specifically pray for anyone who has any of those issues over there. At this point, I'm going to open it up. This is your time to pray about whatever you want to pray about, and let's have Dennis and whoever else wants to pray for people come up. Where's Clay at? Clay, leave. Okay. Well, somebody go get Clay at some point, and I want him to join with me in prayer. Love you guys. Bless you.